The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.
Yeah, welcome back. One of those manic weeks. We were supposed to start 25 minutes ago, but I showed up late. Lads, apologies to all of you.
Not good enough.
Yeah,
absolutely, but look, not good enough.
Yeah, well, look, that's Shane Mann from Ladbrokes there. He's quite a harsh taskmaster.
Been here a good hour now, you know, studying over the weekend and getting my bets in order, so disappointed in you.
Well, we're going to be leaning heavily on you, Pat Nolan from the Mirror. How are you, Pat?
Well, how's it going?
Well, very enthusiastic. Start to be there, Pat. And Eamon Doggett, also from the Mirror. How are you?
Oh, good, thanks, Shane.
Good. Plenty to get through, as always. Bit of Premier League. We'll probably look a little bit at the top four. I mean, it's not as if there's a... Like, Chelsea can get in there, I suppose, at this stage still. But, you know, we'll have a look at that. The drop, that's pretty much a done deal as well. We'll look at the European Champions Cup final as well, Leinster against Rathing. And the GAA kicks off this weekend. Pat, you're hopping off the sod for it, aren't you?
Well, as you can tell by the look on my face here.
Yeah, our listeners can't, but you should see the look on his face here. It's the eyes are, you know, there's a dull look at best there. You really seem disinterested because awfully you're going to get hammered again, aren't
they? Well, we'll talk about that in due course.
We certainly will. So we'll start off anyway with the Premier League. Chelsea and Liverpool vying for that fourth position. There's just 2 points between them. Liverpool on 72, Chelsea on 70. Chelsea actually, lads, did any of you watch Chelsea draw 1-1 there with Huddersfield during the week? Really, really strange that, like, I mean, obviously Huddersfield needed the result and it guaranteed their survival. But Chelsea, Eamon, what do you make of them? Do you give them a chance to turn this around? They're playing against Newcastle away from home, the last day, Liverpool at home to Brighton.
Not really, to be honest, Shane. I thought the chances there against Huddersfield, to be honest, I didn't realise how close they were to Liverpool, because by the atmosphere at Stamford Bridge, you wouldn't have thought there's a whole lot to play for. And Huddersfield were much more up for it. Liverpool, like, great season, but it's just like there is the possibility there that it could lose to Brighton, Chelsea could beat Newcastle, and then lose Madrid in the final, and everything collapses. The great season turns into disastrous one, and they got no Champions League football next year.
At least it was fun along the way. Pat, yeah. You're a dyed-in-the-wool Liverpool fan, would I say?
I'd have an interest in them, all right. I was over at Anfield a few weeks ago.
This is more watery talk from you now. Are you into them or are you not? Will you man up?
I'll be in Castlebar Sunday, I'll be keeping an eye on things. I'm a lot more relaxed about it after what happened with Chelsea. I was very worried about it for the last couple of weeks because Liverpool's league form has been quite poor. They've drawn an awful lot of matches lately.
They've won one from the last five.
In fairness, their squad isn't big enough to be consistent in both Champions League and Premier League. They've had a few injuries. They're like, we absolutely know, bar further injuries, what their starting lineup will be in the European Cup final with all the midfielders that they've lost out on. Obviously, the front three is easy enough to pick. But
do you think he'll keep Trent?
I think he's enough in the bank. And what's the alternative? Like, Joe Gomez is injured now. Klein's played quite enough. I think Alexander Arnold has enough in the bank. Like, he was really good. I was at the Bournemouth match last month and he was outstanding that day, and he was quite good against City too, especially in that second half when they were under first pressure in the first leg. I would have been worried enough about them having to beat Brighton to make sure that Champions League plays, because I thought Chelsea would take 6 points from the last two matches, but now I think, you know, there's a safety net there for them. A draw will do them Sunday. Yeah. I don't see them losing, so.
Chelsea were even fairly jammy with that goal that they scored against Huddersfield. Like, just a ball booted into Marcus Alonso's face and they end up with an equaliser. Huddersfield. Here's a question for all Liverpool fans. And as a Liverpool fan, Pat, I'm going to throw this at you. Would you nearly happily rest all the main men, you know, the Sané, Mane and Salah and like Firmino, on the final day against Brighton, end up losing the fourth spot to Chelsea, just so those lads are all fully fit for the Champions League final?
No, I don't think they should do that either way, because there's still two weeks to the next game, which is kind of perfect. If they're playing Real Madrid the following weekend, might be a case for that. But if they were to be rested Sunday, that means it'll be 3 weeks.
Think of the worst case scenario: Salah's out for the Champions League final.
I know, but another scenario is that he's stale come the final, having not played a match for 3 weeks, and he could probably do it. Like, he hasn't scored in a few games now all of a sudden. He wasn't great last Sunday, so he could maybe do it just banging in a couple on Sunday and, you know, maybe not play the full game, but, I think it would be foolish just to withdraw them all and and you know and not play at any of them, which would, like I said, would leave 3 weeks without a serious match for them.
It's interesting actually because both teams are possibly preoccupied by other competitions because Chelsea have United in the in the cup final as well. What are the odds here, Shane?
On the Liverpool Brighton match? Yeah, Liverpool 1-6, Shane, for the win of 90 minutes. The draw 13-2, Brighton 14-1. Just a reminder as well, this one of several games over this weekend, the final day of the Premier League season, where we will be going double odds. So on the first goal scorer front, double odds if your player nets inside the first 15 minutes.
Again, what did you say Brighton were to win this game?
14-1.
14-1, lads. That's, I mean, they'll probably obviously be on holidays. Mentally anyway, but still Liverpool, they've got to be tuned out.
Shackles will be off with Brighton as well.
Yeah, a couple of Liverpool guys are going to be rested. Like, surely they're going to rest a couple of guys here or at least take them off.
I think there's too much risk to do that, you know.
Yeah, I'd say he might take them off depending on how things are going, but I think he will go fairly close to full strength and I would think that's the right thing to do.
Like, we've seen this season with a lot of Liverpool matches, they do get off to fast starts, especially in the Premier League, and they could put teams away within 20-25 minutes. If we see a scenario like that this weekend, then, as mentioned, we could see plenty of changes at halftime. Looking forward to the Champions League final.
And within the space of a couple of weeks, if Chris Hughton pulled this off, he'd have beaten United and Liverpool in the space of a couple of weeks.
Fantastic job as well, really, when you think of it.
Hasn't he been Ireland manager at some point?
Well, he was assistant, wasn't he?
I know he was.
Back in the day.
Wasn't he assistant at Spurs for like 11 years or something under different managers?
Was it Newcastle? Was it two seasons back? And I think everyone at the time thought he was unduly done by getting the sack on that occasion. It was an outrageous decision, considering where the club were in the league as well at that time. Very much an underrated manager, I think, in the Premier League for many a year now.
I think every time the Ireland job has come up, he's been in a decent club job, and in fairness, are you going to leave a Premier League team to manage Ireland?
To manage that?
Pretty much. I think he'd be foolish. Hopefully it'll come around for him at some stage. He's been touted as an England manager too. First possible.
Well, we wouldn't like that now.
Yeah.
first black man to manage England.
First Irish man to manage England. Well, there you go now, Pat.
I suppose it's kind of a job, the international management setup is kind of a job where you'll get managers who have done it in the league. And, you know, like Giovanni Trapattoni, he was getting on by the time he took up the Ireland position.
It's become a retirement package.
It's a retirement package. It's a bit of a long holiday for them, really, isn't it?
And what are we looking at here for a first goal scorer? Because I'm thinking, there might be someone less obvious. I mean, you could go for Salah and
Murray. I was just looking at that. Glenn Murray to score any time is 15-2.
He's
got 12 Premier League goals this
And he'll take the penalties, won't he?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, he does. Yeah, I think four of his 12 goals have been penalties.
I wonder what the odds are for Dominic Solanke to never score, because
he's actually 9-2 for the first goal. Would you believe
And Glenn Murray's 15-2.
So there you go.
Yeah. I think we all know where the money's going here.
Mane 4-1. You've got Danny Ings in there 4-1. Firmino 7-2. Mohamed Salah now shorter than 2-1. We're getting into Messi and Ronaldo territory here. He's 19-10 for the first goal this weekend.
Pat, for you, Salah. top player. Salah, top player. Messi, Ronaldo level?
I suppose he is at the moment. But like, he'd need to do it over 2, 3, 4 seasons to do what he's doing.
Hasn't done it. Eamon, for you, is he a top player?
Top player, yeah.
Top player, but is he at their level? I don't think he can.
Surely if he, you know, should Liverpool go on to win the Champions League in a couple of weeks' time and he scores, if he basically gives a helping hand to Liverpool lifting that trophy, Ballon d'Or?
He needs to start next season in the same vein of form, though.
Yeah,
he's both calendar year.
And he'll have a World Cup to play in
World Cup as well.
He'd be playing in one of the lesser lights.
No, I'm putting you on the spot here, Shane, but do you happen to have draw no bet for Brighton here? Because I think I just can't see Liverpool, even though there's obviously Champions League up for grabs here.
Draw no bet, 9-1.
9-1, lads.
Yeah.
I mean, chalk it down.
Half-time, full-time bet, perhaps?
Yeah, you know I love a half-time, full-time. What do you have?
So, Liverpool 8-13. Draw Liverpool if you think they'll get off to a slow start, but go on to win in 90 minutes is 29-10, so just shy 3-1. Draws is 10-1.
Yeah, so not bad, but I'll stick to the 9-1 draw, no bet. Yeah. Newcastle Chelsea, lads. I doubt Rafa Benitez, as Newcastle manager, would enjoy anything more than keeping down a Chelsea team that he had a great rivalry with when he was Liverpool manager. What prices do we have here, Shane?
So Newcastle and Chelsea 4-6 for the away win, 17-4 about Newcastle and the draw, 14-5. Both teams to score 5-6 in that match as well in 90 minutes.
Yeah, just looking at Newcastle's form, they've lost 4 on the bounce. So basically they more or less secured their survival and they've gone on holidays, Eamon.
Yeah.
Like plenty of teams this weekend as well. There's not much to play for in most parts of the league.
Bad teams this year have been exceptionally bad, I think. I think Benitez, I think he might still live in Liverpool. So he's got close to Finland. He's still at the club. I like Newcastle here to win and under 3.5 goals in the match, 11-2. I can't see many goals in it. I think, like most people, I think Conte's going anyway, regardless.
It's a shame. I'd love to see that those hair plugs for another season around the Premier League. Yeah. But what was he doing against Huddersfield during the week there? He left Giroud and Hazard on the bench.
I don't, to be honest. I think he's wanted to go all season, but Ramish doesn't want to fire him and he wants to get his compensation deal, probably Conte. I'm sure he's going anyway. And I think he's going to waltz into a top job. I don't know why he'd stay at Chelsea, because it's a dictatorship, I think, at Chelsea. Look at the amount of top-class managers they've had, and they've all been not good enough, apparently. It's not a coincidence there. It's the owner is that fault, I think. And if I was Arsenal, I'd be looking at Conte. I don't think they are, but I think Conte might want to go back to Italy. But I think he'd be perfect for Arsenal. And I don't see why he'd stay at Chelsea.
It's interesting. I've mentioned Benitez as an ex-Liverpool manager keeping down Chelsea, but he's actually an ex-Chelsea manager as well, of course. Deemed not really, just an interim sort of guy. Well, deemed not really good enough. So he'd probably always want to drive a boot into them.
And he was pretty much booed for the vast majority of his time there until the last couple of weeks when they actually appreciated what he achieved at the club. Did they win the Europa League that season? And, they had banners up, the last days of the season saying, thank you, Rafa. And it just goes to show, the fans are so fickle at that club.
Di Matteo won the Champions League.
And he was sacked. Incredible.
He looked a bit too pleased at himself after winning that Champions League.
Well, as you would do. You just won the Premier League competition.
But Benitez is going to welcome Chelsea to town, lift up his skirt a little bit and say, no, you're not good enough for me anymore. Hard one to call. I wouldn't be as shocked if it was a draw, but sure.
14-5.
14-5. But, I mean, Chelsea are the only ones with anything to play for here. But it's hard to trust them, and you just don't know who Conte is going to pick, if he's going to leave Hazard and Giroud on the bench when he so badly needs a result against Huddersfield. You just wouldn't know. The relegation, lads. Swansea have to overturn a 9-goal difference on the final day of the season if they're to stay up.
Not going
to
happen.
No. I mean, they threw it away against Southampton. Thing is, I actually liked them for a while since Carlos Carvajal came in. Yeah. I thought that they were quids in.
And he was a very entertaining pre- and post-match interviewee.
Yeah.
Which is very rare.
He was happy to throw out an analogy, wasn't he?
Huh?
He was only too willing to throw out an analogy after Liverpool.
The Formula One.
Can't go through traffic.
In London, Yeah, he was very entertaining. And I thought it was a bizarre appointment, given that he was sacked by a club at the bottom of the championship. But he had an immediate impact, and they look to be well on the way to safety, but just haven't been able to follow it through, and they look doomed now.
Isn't it interesting that West Brom and Stoke City are already gone, but West Brom, they've won 3 of their last 5 games and 2 draws under Darren Moore, who was relegated on the same day that he won manager of the month.
That has to be a first, I think.
It's incredible stuff.
I can't remember anything like that happening. You're getting an award the same day as your team has gone down, pretty much.
Since the start of this podcast, what manager have I hammered the most for being a bit of a joker?
Adam Pardew was.
Yeah. Why did they keep him for so long? Yeah. He was awful. West Brom would still be a Premier League team if they got rid of that lad. So Swansea against Stoke. So Stoke are gone, have absolutely nothing to play for. Swansea have everything to play for. Surely they'll get a 5-0 win here, and Southampton will lose 4-0 at home to City, and Carlos Carvajal is the man.
I doubt it. Although you get some strange results sometimes. I remember the Nottingham Forest team, possibly I think it was the last Nottingham Forest team to play in the Premier League in 1999.
Oh, who could forget?
They were relegated. Well, it's a season. Remember Van Hooydonk refused to play for them for half the season.
Yeah.
They were relegated with 3 or 4 games to spare, and then they turned around and won their last 3 games, having already been relegated. And effectively beat Blackburn in one of their games and effectively relegated Blackburn in doing so, when Blackburn had everything to play for.
Why did you have to bring that up? That hurts. I'm a Blackburn fan. Right. Well, back when I cared.
Yeah, you may remember Blackburn lost to Forest on a Saturday and then drew 0-0 with United on the Tuesday.
How could I forget? How could I forget? Do you know what happened once? Was it 95, 96? Could be 97, 98. I'm sure our stats man, well, we don't have one, we'll check it up. But there was one season when Middlesbrough got relegated because they were deducted points.
1997.
Yeah, 1997. They refused to play Blackburn on one of the Saturdays or whatever because they had so many players ill or injured or whatever. And they ended up getting deducted 3 points. Was it 3 points they got deducted? If they had to play the game and lose... and being beaten 20-0, they actually would have stayed up. The deducted points
cost eventually
them.
Drew the game.
It's a moral victory.
So they eventually drew the game when it was played, so that, so they dropped 5 points from that game.
Not good enough, Pat, is it?
Not really, no.
So what are the odds in these two games? Swansea-Stoke will start off with.
Swansea odds on here, Shane. 5-6. The draw is 13-5, and Stoke are at 16-5.
The dying sting, or the sting of dying wasp, Eamon?
Yeah, I wouldn't have a bet on this race. I'd be match. Just still thinking of punch down, but I'd be looking at a goal fest instead of to Man City. Though I'm just thinking goals everywhere in that game.
If we expect, you know, just looking at a few correct scores here and the correct score market, Swansea have had a shocking record recently of trying to find the back of the net. But you know, if they go into this game with the ethos of, you know, we have to win by 4 or 5 goals here to have an even remote chance of staying up. I mean, 3-0 is at 14-1, and then 4-0 is at 33-1. Of course, Stoke already down as well.
Yeah.
So if you fancy plenty of goals and an easy enough home win, 3-0, 14s and 4-0, 33s.
What about that little fat squirrel, Shaqiri? What's he to get the first goal?
First goal score betting.
Sorry for the Shaqiri. Shaming. Sorry for the body shaming there, Shaqiri.
Shaqiri, Jordan. Yeah. 15-2 for the first goal.
Yeah. Pat, do you give Swansea any hope of getting a heavy win here? I mean, even if Southampton don't get hammered.
You could see them rattling in a few, but like, just they've 10 goals to overturn between the two fixtures.
So. And they can't really score.
No, so you know,
it'd surely be the most miraculous thing to ever happen in the final day of the Premier League season, I would think.
Because they went
bar 1989, maybe, but
yeah,
we'll talk about that.
But they went on a great run, then all of a sudden they've just collapsed when they're right at the finishing line. White line fever. They've lost 4 in a row and a draw before that as well. Even just a couple of results there, and they would be absolutely clear and flying it. So Southampton City. What's the odds?
Southampton and Manchester City.
Good prices here now, Shane.
One moment there till this laptop starts working. Get back to me on that.
Yeah,
give me 2 seconds.
Well, City have broken the points record, the goals record, and the most wins after beating Brighton during the week. Is this the most impressive single Premier League season of all time, or do we take into account that all the teams in the bottom half are shocking?
It certainly would have been the most impressive. I would still say Arsenal 2004, going unbeaten. I know they drew a lot of games, I think 12 that season, but I would still think that's the most impressive single season feat since the Premier League has started, but that's only 26 years ago.
Yeah, for me, the most impressive team I've seen to watch just the start of the football. I think Pep has a philosophy and everyone is ready to get on his back, I think, this season if it didn't go well.
Yeah.
I think he's proven a lot of people wrong. And I'm kind of happy to see it.
I'd have had to have been hosed off if it had to go wrong for him this season. Yeah. But clearly the most impressive Premier League season was 94-95 Blackburn Rovers, lads. Shearer and Sutton, Ripley and Wilcox on the wings.
Find the Premier League.
Colin Hendry, centre-back, Tim Flowers in the gap. Oh, lads, they were glorious.
It even rhymes.
Huh?
It even rhymes. Yeah.
And fell over the line towards the end. So did you
on the odds, on the odd chain, City 4-9 for the win, the draw 7-2, Southampton 6-1 against City this weekend. Another double odds match, by the way, so good chance we could see early goals in this one. 15 minutes is what you're looking for double the odds on those when the first goal scores.
Yeah, well, everything else in the Premier League is pretty much cut and shut, so I think we'll leave the football there. But there's a massive match going on in the rugby. The European Cup final, Saturday, 4:45 p.m. in Bilbao. Will any of you been there? Will you be there?
I won't be there.
Pat, will you be there?
No.
Eamon?
No, unfortunately not, no.
No, you won't be with
me. You'll be there, Shane.
I won't be within a hen's kick of any screen showing it. I know I might be. I probably will watch it. Pat, you were at the Leinster-Exeter game this year. What about this Leinster team does it for you? As a Leinster man.
As a proud Leinster man. Yeah, well, that Exeter game was really, I suppose, Leinster might be associated for their, I suppose, flair, and the team that won 3 European Cups already would have been their, I suppose, hallmark. But that day against Exeter, they really grounded out. They were well behind. they lost Sexton through injury early on as well, and the chap who's playing his last game this weekend from Fiji, whose name escapes me, Issa Nasewa, took over the kicking duties and was outstanding, and they really dug it out that day. But then there have been other games like the semi-final against Clonetley where they just absolutely destroyed them and put up big points tallies. And you look at the qualities of teams that, like Exeter, they beat them home and away, and they're one of the top teams in England. Saracens were multiple European champions. The Scarlets beat them comfortably in the Pro 14 final last year, and they've turned the tables on them. So, from a place where a couple of years ago they were struggling quite badly along with Munster. And Leo Cullen and Anthony Foley were kind of novice coaches. It's kind of, they've turned it around fairly spectacularly since, and it's hard to make a case for them not winning on Saturday.
Eamon, they've kind of coasted to the final, haven't they?
Yeah, as Pat says, like quarter final, semi final, never really looked in trouble. This got better and better, and their strength and depth is amazing. Like, to think, I mean, the Irish teams have this luxury, which I think. It's the envy of Europe that the RFU looks after the good, their best players so well. Like, I can't even think how many games Sexton's played in the Pro 14 this year, but it must have been only a handful.
That's like asking him to play in a challenge match, an inter-county player to play a challenge match for the club. Yeah. It just wouldn't happen.
Whereas all these Racing players are regularly playing in the top 14 week in, week out. There's no rest for them. So I think that's a massive advantage for the Irish teams. And I think I was impressed with Racing against Munster. I thought, particularly in the second half, where I thought it could all go wrong French style, like, but they defended very well. I think if Leinster get through the first half, I think that's when Racing are going to be most dangerous again. They should win. I mean, Racing got a lot of dangerous players like Teddy Tomas, Vakatara, Chavansi. Oh, but individually they're very good players, but I think Leinster are a better team, and I think like Munster panicked, I thought, when Teddy Tomas scored that first try. You could see the panic in their faces. It was a really hot day in Bordeaux. Things went tits up, if you can use that word quickly.
tits up, you say?
Yeah. But I don't think that happened with Leinster, especially with, just not to pick on Keatley, but I think Munster were a top class out half away from winning that game to me.
So you singled him out, right? Sorry, go on, finish.
Sexton, though, to me, is the driving force and Leinster, and I think he'd be the difference in this final. And Mashino is going to be a massive loss for Racing, their captain, and probably the heart of the team, I'd say.
And Pat Lambie at 10, and with Dan Carter to come in his final game before
serious
going
strength
to Japan.
And depth.
Yeah, they're not bad. One of the two coaches, either Leo Cullen or Laurent Travers, if he was in Ireland, he'd be Larry Travers or something. One of them will become the first man to win the tournament as both a player and a coach. That's some feat, to be fair.
I think Cullen won it with two different clubs as a player. He won it with
Leicester as well. But like Leinster, as you said, Pat, they've won it three times, and Racing have never won it. So does that count for anything here?
I'm not so sure it does. When you look at the pedigree of player they have. Plus how many Leinster players actually played in those three? I think Rob Kearney
four
is
or five, Keane Healy, Nasewa,
Tony
Sexton, obviously, yeah.
So Sean O'Brien missed the first one.
He might have, I'm not entirely sure, but first one was I think 2009, so that's going back a bit. I'm not sure whether you're on that time, but I don't think he'll count for a huge amount given the pedigree of player that they have.
What sort of odds are we looking at, Shane?
Yeah, long odds on here. Leinster 1-6,
in a 2-horse race.
4-1 a bit, Racing. The handicap is at 12 at the moment. Leinster -12, 10-11. Racing +12 at 10-11.
Oh, I'd be all over Racing +12 there.
I think if you're looking for a narrow Leinster victory, Leinster 1-10 points is 2-1. And 1-5 points is 5-1. So,
like, surely the fact that it's in Bilbao as well, you'd imagine it'd be a little bit hotter than it is here, and the French players are going to be a little bit more used to it. Maybe I'm exaggerating the relevance of that, but I can't see Leinster running away with it here. Classy and all as they are. Jordan Larmour looks like he's probably going to start, with the whole eligibility, only a certain amount of the foreign players can start here. So it'd be exciting to see him in a final anyway, because you want him to become a mainstay of the Irish team, because those dancing feet are incredible.
Yeah.
So who would be the first try?
Yeah,
favorites?
He's up there at around 7 right to 1 chain. Of course, we're still awaiting official team news as well. So all will be confirmed in the next.
Keep it in the pants
hours.
For now, will we?
We will. Don't forget, though, double odds and those winning first try scores. They have to score a second in the 80 minutes for double odds to count here in the rugby this weekend.
I'm going to put a gun to all of your heads. Who's going to win here, Shane?
I think Leinster will win, but I think, yeah, as you mentioned, the handicap plus 12 of 10 to 11 looks value. I don't think they'll do it by more than that.
Pat?
Yeah, I expect Leinster to win, but I think it'll be by far their tough. Like, they've had two home knockout games to get here. I think this will be by far their sternest challenge, certainly outside the group stages.
And huge celebrations down in Tullamore, no doubt, if they win it.
Across the 12 counties, of course. Yeah.
Eamon?
Yeah, I'm Leinster as well, definitely. I think from betting point of view, though, I'm tempted by Racing Leinster half-time, full-time. I can see Racing making a good start. I think that's 6-1, so a bit of value.
Oh, Racing half-time, Leinster full-time?
Yeah.
Not bad. Okay, that's the European Cup final. We'll move on to GAA as well. I think we saved the dessert for last, haven't we, Pat? It's the first big weekend. We had the openers last weekend. Leitrim needed extra time to win in New York, and Sligo beat the it was -3 for Sligo in London last weekend. That was one of the tips that we all went hard on. That came in because they won by 10. I hope you all got on that. Mayo versus Galway is the first one, Pat.
Yeah.
Are you excited about this one?
Yeah, it's a huge game. The sort of game you very rarely get at this time of the year in football. Now, there has been some people saying it's the
third year in a row they've met at this stage.
Yeah, well, I think it was a semi-final last year, but and possibly the year before.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good.
Yeah, there has been some talk that it's the biggest Mayo Galway game ever. No, that's bringing it too far, because you know, you take games like 97 and 98 when there were knockout games, and the two counties were competing in All Ireland finals at that time, 99 as well. You know, both teams have a route back towards the last eight.
Well, if I can jump in and ask you a question there, right? So a huge amount of people are saying that if whoever loses this game, there's a long route back to the Super 8. And then with that, there's 3 games in 4 weeks. And everyone assumes that Galway would find that easier because they have a younger age profile, and Mayo would find it difficult. They can't keep getting, you know, stumbling their way through the back door into the latter stages. Do you see this as a do or die, almost old school championship game, like in the before pre-qualifiers, for that reason?
Yeah, as close to it as you can get. I wouldn't say it's quite at that level, because simply the summer won't end for either team come Sunday evening. It would have 20 years ago. But I would largely agree with that body of thought that you've outlined there. I think Mayo badly needs to go through the front door this time. If whoever loses has to play 9 games to win an All-Ireland. And you saw how close Mayo sailed to the win time and time again in the qualifiers last year. And
yet they got better as they went along.
Only in the replay against Roscommon was it when they really got back to themselves. Yeah. And
from then on, like against Kerry both days and against Dublin, like they were playing good football, even if they weren't, I mean, they didn't win easy. Yeah. I mean, they beat Kerry well and they hammered Roscommon. But
they could easily have been beaten by Derry, Cork, Clare. At any stage in that qualifier run, and you know, if they go and roll the dice like that again, you know, they're going to run out of road at some stage. You would think if they're going to be that sluggish through the qualifiers, so I would expect that Mayo will throw everything at winning this match, as I would expect from Galway too. But whoever loses, I would still expect them to be in the last eight, but it might hurt Mayo's All Ireland chances going forward if they're to go through an exhaustive qualifier route.
No, Lee Keegan for Mayo, is it?
Yeah.
As well?
Yeah. And that's an attacking threat from deep, really curbed there. Now, they'll still have Colin Boyle. Not 100% sure where Keith Higgins would play.
Has he given up the hurling?
He has given up the hurling. He spent the whole league hurling for Mayo. But, you know, Owen O'Donoghue can come into the back line. You'll probably have Brendan Harrison, the other corner. Chris Barrett apparently has been looked at a fullback to go on Comer, and that could be a dirt fest there, by the way. So that would release Keith Higgins to possibly play wing back, and you've got the likes of Donny Vaughan, Colin Boyle, as I said. So But what are the odds? What way are Ladbrokes looking at it?
Very, very tight here, Shane. Mayo slight favourites in the 70-minute betting, 8 to 11. The draw, 15 to 2, which will be a play for many, I would imagine, this coming weekend. Galway, 6 to 4 against in the match this weekend. Just a reminder, another double odds initiative here. This time, 20 minutes if you're having a play in the first goal score betting. If your player nets inside, then we'll double those odds.
Which team is better forwards, Pat? Are we talking about Galway with Comer, with Shane Walsh, with Eamon Brannigan, with Sean Armstrong, whether he starts or on the bench? Are we looking at Andy Moore and Killian O'Connor, possibly with a hamstring injury, I believe, Dermot O'Connor, Aidan O'Shea? Which side are you looking at as more lethal?
Well, Killian is named in the team that came out earlier today. It's an interesting question. If you ask me who's the better scoring forwards, who's a better, larger spell scoring forwards, I would say Galway. But if you were to pick... If you had to pick a both teams' attacks, you'd have to put Killian O'Connor in. You'd have to put Andy Moore in. You'd have to put Aidan O'Shea in. I think you'd possibly have to put Kevin McLaughlin in too. So there's four Mayo lads that you're saying are nailed on. Not all of them are prolific scorers.
You'd have to put Damien Comer in, yeah? We're agreed on that. You'd have to put Shane Walsh in. Even though his final ball and decision making, like, he's got all of the raw materials. Every single raw material.
He's top class.
We're all agreed.
Decision making.
He could end up being the footballer of the year any single year from here on out. And yet we're not 100% sure if he'd make a composite team here.
Yeah, it's a bit like the Jim McConnelly thing, I suppose, up to 4 or 5 years ago. You know, what you just didn't know what he was going to do. And I suppose Connolly still retains that inconsistent streak right up to this day.
But an enigma for you?
Enigmatic would be a good word to choose there, yeah.
Some player.
You would probably pick more Mayo players in a composite forward line, but yet... If you had to pick out lads who are more likely to get you 3 points in play, you'd probably pick more Galway lads.
There's probably no odds for a red card here, but I would.
I covered the league game in February.
Yeah. And February 11th, I believe.
It was only really the 68th minute to the 80th minute, probably, that it got really scarpy.
There was a few hits last
didn't
summer.
Help it by he just didn't deal with things quickly enough. He took too long. He stopped playing for too long to deal with things, and then that fed the potential for other things to kick off elsewhere, which happened a few times. You wouldn't you certainly wouldn't bet against it. But one bet I like is I fancy Mayo to win. So Mayo halftime full time is 13-8.
That's not bad. Yeah, so I fancy Mayo as well, even without Lee Keegan, and I think you can't underestimate.
But they have everyone else. And I know he's a huge player for them, but. You know, if you know, they have everyone else available to them, and playing at home, I know Castlebar isn't really a fortress for them, but look, Galway haven't won 3 in a row against Mayo since 1984. I don't expect that they'll do it this time. I just think it's the last two. You could make a case that Mayo were complacent 2 years ago, and I think if Keith Higgins hadn't been sent off last year, I think Mayo would have won the match. So all things being equal, I expect Mayo to win. And an interesting thing is Killian O'Connor is 3 points off becoming Mayo's all-time top scorer.
He's not too far off becoming the all-time championship top scorer, isn't he, as well? About 30 points or so off
For Mayo.
Overall, all-time.
All right.
For everyone.
I'm not terribly sure.
We'll get that same stats man to check that
one. We boosted him actually during the weekend shops as well, out to 4-1 to be the championship top scorer as well this coming season. We're just going to briefly touch on the outrights for the Connacht Championship. This year, Mayo 5-4, Galway 15-8, Roscommon 9-4. It's 25s and bigger the rest then. So you'd imagine the odds will change drastically whoever wins this coming weekend.
Instead of having a bet on this match, do you think lads would be better to bet on the Connacht Championships as a whole if you think they're going to beat Roscommon anyway?
Yeah, I wouldn't be
Roscommon 9-4.
Yeah, I know you're not writing off Roscommon, but I wouldn't be too quick to do that now. Mm. Can they win 2 years in a row? Mm. I couldn't see them beating Mayo. Not when Mayo have their dander up if they get that far. An uninteresting aside about Castlebar, the McHale's Park there. Pat, you'll have covered games there as well. Yeah. That when you're in that box, the glass panes are so thick, you can't hear the atmosphere. So it's basically as if you've got earplugs in when you're watching the match in the press box in McHale Park. It's a horror show, Pat, isn't
it? Yeah, it's been refurbished in the last few. That obviously people from watching the games on TV will tell that there's a new stand there, and we're up the back of it, and there's the press box could have had a bit more thought put into it design wise, and even in terms of the window panes and the divisions between them and the pillars. It's going to be quite hard to see at times, and as you said, you can't hear a thing.
Yeah, I'm sure all our listeners really care about those.
Certainly, yeah. Feel the sympathy coming.
Yeah, yeah. Right, so I'm going to, anyone put their hands up for anything bar Mayo here? I'm saying Mayo.
I've backed Galway at 9-2 a couple of months back for Connacht. They're now 15-8.
Right.
I thought they were drastically overpriced. Now, this is before they got to the league final.
Right.
So I'm hoping, obviously, for a Galway win this
weekend. Yeah, now I'm flip-flopping, actually, thinking about the league final.
Yeah.
And twice against Dublin, they were really close.
I think League Higgins going to be a massive loss this weekend as well.
You're starting to sway me now.
Yeah.
Can I get in on your 9-2?
It's a bit 15-8 now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Pat? You're going for Mayo?
Yeah, I fancy Mayo.
Talk into the microphone now.
Do I have a handicap bet there? I thought I did. No, I don't. I think the handicap's -1.
Have a look here now. It's 1. Yeah.
You had a half time full.
1 point.
Yeah, half time full. Yeah, I just fancy Mayo to.
I go half time full time as well, Mayo. Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's probably going to be the match of the weekend. Donegal, Cavan. Not so much. I wouldn't imagine it's going to be the most exhilarating game of all time. Could be a bit of a thumping match. The two teams have swapped divisions in the league for next year. Cavan going up, Donegal going down from Division 1. The big factoid from this is that Michael Murphy is about to captain Donegal for the 8th season in a row. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Now, I was trying to look it up to see had anyone done it any longer, and I saw one piece saying that Kieran McKeever did it for 9 years. But then I saw his retirement statement, you know, because I wanted to check that this was true. And he mentioned in his statement he was captain for 6 years. So, like, 8 years for Michael Murphy being captain.
And he would have been very young the first year. He would have held that captaincy as well, surely.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still young and, well, not...
He's about 20...
He's born in 89, so he's 29 this year.
Yeah, yeah. Pat, where do you rank him? Like, do you think he is one of the best players of all time, or do you think he's massively overrated? Because some people say, oh, you're making excuses for him not play, you know, that he's out midfield and maybe he's not having his best games and man-marked. Well, if you're one of the best players of all time, you'll overcome that. So where do you stand on that?
No, I think he's, I'd say he's the best Donegal player of all time anyway. If you're one of the best players of all time, I suppose the way you'd look at that is you take the team of the millennium that was picked in 1999. Would he knock anyone out of that team?
Who's in that forward line?
Well, Mikey Sheehy's in there, I'm fairly certain. Pat Spillane is in there. Tommy Murphy of Leash is in there.
Right.
Half the carry.
Sorry, Tommy, you're gone.
Yeah, so I'm not, well, again, yeah.
Bernard Flynn now, isn't
No, Bernard, his teammate Martin O'Connell made it at left half back. I'm just trying to think of who the full forward
Did
line
Did Declan Brown there. Make it now?
No. He's
no
just,
Tipperary man.
He'd only won one All-Star at that stage.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you pick the best team of this millennium, this century so far, would he be on it? Possibly.
Mm.
But possibly not. I haven't thought about it in
very definitive
detail, but he'd certainly been the conversation. But
right. We'll move on from that. Donegal lost 5 games in the league. Cavan promoted, narrowly lost the division final to Roscommon. What sort of price? Did we look at the prices
there? Donegal 4-11 to win in 70 minutes. The draw at 8-1. Cavan 3-1. On the handicap front, Donegal -3, 5-6. Cavan +3 is 11-10. And I'll just give you the outrights as well for Ulster while I have it here. Tyrone currently favourite 6-5, Donegal 3-1, Monaghan at 4-1, Downer at 10-1, 12-1 Armagh, and Cavan are 14s.
Yeah, Cavan have a couple of good scorers there. Garrod McKiernan, Shawnee Johnson, Darren McVitie. Who is
McVitie?
Oh, he's gone, is he? Right,
yeah,
okay.
So that's a huge loss. He was their best player in the league. I was at the Cavan Tipperary game when they won promotion.
Yeah.
He was outstanding that day. So he's a huge loss. Something like that can, I think, will swing the balance a bit. Donegal have a very formidable record in Ballybofeta, having lost there in League Championship since 2010, and even at that a down team that reached that year's All Ireland final can only beat them after extra time. So, I think that counts for something, and I expect Donegal to come true.
Yeah, I think we're all going to go for Donegal here, are we?
Yeah, really fancy Donegal 4-11.
Okay, so that's the football. Couple of big hurling games on this weekend, Pat. No better place to start than your own boys, Offaly against Galway at O'Connor Park.
Yeah, I was straight in on the handicap there. I think the last time I was on this podcast, certainly one of the last times, was when Offaly played Galway in the league. The handicap was 12, and I tipped that up. Offaly lost by 11 that day, having had a man sent off. So I'd be disappointed if they didn't come within the 12 again. Mm. I expect they will.
You expect Offaly to be within 12 points?
Absolutely, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's almost arrogant of you to think they won't get destroyed.
That's what?
That's arrogant of you to think that they won't get destroyed.
I think it's arrogant of you to put it out there that they will be destroyed.
Well, it would be remiss of me not to try and wind you up.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but no, I just think Offaly are a completely different team to last year in terms of personnel, in terms of setup, style of play. And I think they'll really go at this game. And I don't necessarily think that Galway will. They'll obviously come to win, but I can't see Galway being 100% wound up, hit the ground running on Saturday evening. So I think that presents an opportunity for Offaly, not necessarily to win the match, but to be much more competitive than a lot of people think.
Yeah, last year the teams met in Portlaoise and Offaly set up with two sweepers. Two of the half forwards played in midfield, and they lost by 33 points to 111. So obviously the goal was to not concede goals. Job done there, but still absolutely destroyed. It's still really, really hard to make a case from getting anything out of this game. Like, for it would be a huge shock if Offaly beat the All-Ireland champions.
It would be. It would probably be Offaly's biggest upset win since 1980, when they won their first Leinster title. I can't think of... now that they did win matches against the Head throughout the 80s and 90s, but... this would probably
those
top
days
any
are gone,
of those.
Pat.
I know, yeah. This would top any of those, I would say. But and I think the problem possibly with Offaly would be, even if they were, say, in a position with 15 minutes to go where they're within shooting distance of Galway, there's been so many times over the last 15 years since Offaly disappeared as All-Ireland contenders that they've been in positions to win matches and to really make a statement, and they've not been able to see at home. So even if they were in a position to win the match, and I don't believe they will be, I would doubt whether they would have the wherewithal to see it through. But I think being competitive for most of the game and coming within 12 points is more than achievable for them.
No, I was just going to marvel at Pat's stats mind. I find incredible when he goes back into the years and. Never disappoint.
You can dig deep.
Yeah. They're long odds on here, Shane. 50-1 on Galway for the win. Offaly 12-1, 25-1 with the draw. The handicap, as mentioned, is at 12 as well. So 10-11 both ways.
I have to say, though, I think Offaly have a couple of really nice hurlers. Whether they're athletically up to the level of Galway, who are prime athletes, like they are ripped, every one of them. But like if you look at some of the forwards that Offaly might have starting this weekend, Dan Curran's is excellent. Colin Egan's a good player. Conor Mahon's very useful target man.
They're all big men, though.
Yeah, Joe Bergen, big guy. Shane Dooley, lacking pace up there?
Yeah, maybe a bit of that, all right, yeah. Which means Shane Dooley is in much better shape this year than
might mean Offaly or Galway are able to come out with the ball at pace a little bit. If you're lacking speed in the forward line, that's obviously going to affect your tackle rate as well. So,
yeah, but at least they'll have... at least they'll have six players up there for most of the game, which they wouldn't have had last year. Like the 33 points that you mentioned there, that was at that time, that was the biggest points tally, white flags only now, in championship history.
Yeah.
And then Offaly went out 2 weeks later and conceded 135 against Waterford, which then broke that record. So in the space of 2 weeks, Offaly had the first and second biggest tallies ever conceded in championship history. So I don't think that's going to happen this time. One thing about O'Connor Park is Offaly obviously played there. The wind invariably blows into the Park Avenue end, which, as you look at it on TV, is the left hand side of the screen. If Offaly win the toss, I'd imagine they would go with the wind. Offaly half time, Galway full time is 8-1. I think that's potential there.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I've played there in O'Connor Park once. It's actually a great place to play. The stand is nice and on top of you. Very cool little compact ground. I'd be going Galway to win with. And beat the handicap as well. So
we'll see if you're wrong again. But
I'm wrong often enough. But you throw enough shit at the wall, and you know the odd bit will stick. Dublin versus Kilkenny. This is a double odds match, Shane, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, Shane. This coming weekend. Just give me 1 second now to get the odds up here. I have it here. Dublin Kilkenny. Dublin 11-2, the draw 14-1, Kilkenny 1-7, and the match handicap is at 7 points as well. Dublin +7 at evens, Kilkenny -7 at 10-11 on the handicap.
Dublin are missing a huge amount of players for many different reasons. Number one, some of the cooler players who are my club mates haven't gone back. Some of them have gone back. So the ones who've gone back are Keane O'Callaghan, Sean Moran, David Tracy, and Jake Malone. Other than that, there's like the likes of Niall McMorrow is no longer on the panel. He's a midfielder, brilliant player from Ballyboden. Ben Quinn from Crumlin, he's not in there. There's lads who are playing football for the county. There's other lads who are, you know, just gone past their best, lads that used to be main men.
So rumours there circulating a while back now that Dermot Connolly was going to make a break for the Hurling panel as well.
It was never going to happen.
It was ever realistic.
Yeah. No. No, he did play a challenge match last Friday night. Sorry, a league match. Yeah. Came on for St. Vincent's in the second half against Craig Kieran.
Surely that couldn't be happening.
Well, I don't think that's the reason. I don't think there's anything to do with that, with why he's not involved with the Dublin footballers at the moment. But you know the way people talk about Kilkenny being in transition? I think Pat Gilroy is trying to build from the ground up. And to put things in context for this game, he's the least experienced manager up against the most experienced manager of all time.
Yeah.
Like, Pat Gilroy has never stood on the line for a championship men's hurling game before.
Yeah.
This is his first time. I mean, it's very hard for him to all of a sudden find a game plan that'll stop TJ Reid.
Yeah, you would worry for Dublin if things don't go well on Sunday that the whole campaign could just run away from them.
Oh, well, they'll hammer Offaly.
Well, we'd see about that. But sure, we'll have the handicap odds there now.
It's a bit early. We're a bit far out from that one.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you'll back it anyway. But I just feel you mentioned the players that they don't have. The league, I think, was on the whole very poor. You know, the Galway game was probably the only saving grace. They gave Leash a bit of a trimming, I suppose. But other than that, it's hard to pick much from it. And they're at a particular disadvantage with the club final going to a replay. The league finished earlier than ever this year, and the championship then starts probably earlier than most years.
Yeah, Gilroy's had no chance to play his team at all.
He's had maybe a month with those cooler lads, and he got four cooler lads. He probably needed seven or more. Seven would have been probably realistic. He wasn't never going to get Conor Callaghan, but so it's a bit of a shot in the dark for Dublin. Like, we don't know what to expect. There's talk that Keane O'Callaghan and Sean Moran will be at 3-6, and maybe Keane at 11 and Rush at 14, where
they're going for a strong spine.
Liam Rush in the records, and he doesn't like particularly like playing up there, but when you look at Sean Moran's form in the club finals, it's hard to argue against him being centre back.
Yeah, I've played beside Sean Moran many times, and like, he papers over the cracks for me on many occasions.
Looking at a market here, Shane, you know, the potential here for Kilkenny to do some serious damage early on in the match. The dream starts that we have on Ladbrokes.com at the moment, Kilkenny to get the first three scores of the game, whether they be goals or points, without reply, 100-30. Shane, over 3-1 for Kilkenny to get the first three scores of the match without reply.
Actually, do you know what? It's not the worst bet in the world. My fear for Dublin here, and I actually think they have a lot of very good players, and if you go through the back line, I think they have a pretty excellent back line. What I might guess, and maybe the team will have been named by the time some people hear this, is you might have Paddy Smith, Keane O'Callaghan, Owen O'Donnell, and Owen O'Donnell might be a man marker on somebody. Chris Crummie, who I think is brilliant. Sean Moran, everyone knows. And Shane Barrett. That's actually a very good inter-county forward line. The problem is midfield, they've lost a lot of options, which I've outlined. And then the forward line, you're possibly looking at a forward line that was probably there in 2013. And they're all very good players, but you always need an injection of youth. You know, you could have Ryan O'Dwyer in there, Conal Keeney, Danny Sutcliffe, David Tracy. You know, a lot of guys that have been there for a lot of years. And the quality that could have come through has either gone to football or the guys are just not there. But Cody's average scoreline against Dublin in championship in his 20 years is 220 to 13 points. So
says it all.
Yeah. But are Kilkenny in, you know, has the league overstated where Kilkenny are at, Pat?
I think a little bit. You know, they defied expectations by winning the league. But if you take Tip in the league final, they were very disappointing. But I would still think Tip had the potential to improve an awful lot more for the summer.
Oh, they couldn't
than,
be worse.
Than yeah. Kilkenny do from yeah. that game. In terms of personnel coming back, like Kilkenny have personnel to come back, but I'm not sure they can make the same impact as, say, you know, Callaghan coming into that forward line, Bonnemar, Noel McGrath. I don't think Dan McCormack played that day either, did he?
He didn't play, but and so he's back playing for the club.
There's
and he's
four possibly nailed on forwards.
Just on the outrights for the All-Ireland, they're 4-1 at the moment, Kilkenny.
Yeah.
Behind joint favourites at the minute, Galway and Tip both at 11-4. It's then 8-1 about Cork, 9-1 Waterford, 10's Bar. That's for the Liam McCarty this year.
I think it'd be the wrong time to put money down on Kilkenny, because now, I mean, I think they'll have I think they'll be rocked once or twice. I think Galway will give them a give him a, you know, maybe not a hammering, but
by the time it comes around, though,
it could be. But they'll meet at the possibly in a Leinster final as well.
The game in Galway.
Yeah,
mightn't have that much on it.
I suppose the point I'm driving at is that by the time this championship gets to the business end, I think you'll find a better price on Kilkenny later on down the line. So I think we're all going to go for a Kilkenny win here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That bet is 130, first three scores of the match for me.
Yeah. Disregard that, listeners. It's not going to happen. I know you might be right. Okay. So that's the hurling. We're going to move into the racing now. The Chester Cup is on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely, Shane. The biggest race of the week of the Chester May Boodles Festival. Fancy a horse here called the Bowie 50 for trainer Karen McClintock and Sylvester D'Souza up as well, which is a massive bonus for this one this time around. Been in great form lately as well. It's gone up £24 in the handicap since his opening win at Newcastle. That was about a year and a half ago now. Runs off American 97, steps up in trip as well. Does the Bowie 50, is very well related to, you know, there's plenty of stamina in the family. The likes of Brian Baru, winner of the St. Ledger many years ago, and also Workforce, who was a fantastic winner of the Derby, is somewhere on the bloodline there as well. So very well related to plenty of horses that have proven stamina. As mentioned, the step up and trip to suit, around about 8-1 at the moment for the Chester Cup. It's a tricky enough race. Drawn and stalled 10, I think, is the Bowie 50. Which shouldn't be too much of an inconvenience considering they're going over 2.25 miles. If this was over a sprint trip, 5-6 furlongs, it'd be a massive disadvantage. It's basically a dog track that they run on. It's very, very tight bends. You really need to be well drawn. Ideally, you like to be well drawn over all sorts of distances, but over 2.25 miles, it shouldn't be an issue. He's won from off the pace before. He's won when prominent near the head of the field as well early on in a race, so that shouldn't be an issue, and hopefully can get the business done this Friday.
Yeah, I was looking, haven't got much interest in the flat, so I'm looking at the jumps now on Sunday. It's a race that caught my eyes, Clarny, the 255. It's actually a good pot for this time of year, really good pot, so some good entries, but I'm not sure exactly what horse is going to get in, but if two horses here, Vutan and Paris Bomb, got in, I think they'd have a good chance, particularly Paris Bomb. It's best on a good ground. It's a chase mark is a lot higher than its hurdle mark.
Did he fall at Punchestown? He was going pretty well at the time. As well,
okay,
wasn't
backed
he?
Yeah. It, of course, and it fell, of course. But he's going okay. I don't think he liked the ground. The ground should be, well, I'd hope, be fairly nice to Clarity now this time of year.
It should be with the weather this week as well we're having. So
I think Paris Bomb, if it's a decent price, could be each way better. And then Joseph O'Brien's horse, Vutan, who is very smart in the flat. Well, I think he only had two runs, but smart. Ran well in a juvenile hurdle last year, maiden hurdle, and then it's disappointing since. But I think the good ground could be, and it's gone way down the way. It's off 1, 2, 3. I think it's a much better horse than that. So that, again, if that was a decent price, good each way bet. So I just put those two up anyway for the 255 at Clarny.
Just to mention briefly as well, Shane, of course, the return of the Curragh this weekend, and we'll also have Leopardstown for the Darnstown Derby trial this coming Sunday, which hopefully we'll see the reappearance once again of the Pentagon, who was slightly disappointed last time out. Currently 14-1 for the Derby. Of course, Aidan O'Brien has a very strong hand at the head of the betting with Saxon Warrior, who was very impressive in the 2000 Guineas. We also have the 1000 Guineas trial at the Curragh at the weekend as well. So some really good flat racing on the home front this weekend to look forward to.
I think there's one other little thing you wanted to mention as well. The real big one this weekend.
The real big one. Well, we've two big ones. First of all, the cricket.
The cricket.
Ireland about to play their first ever test match. I was reading up earlier on about one of the previous captains, Johnston, is it, or Trenston?
Trent Johnston.
There we go.
Australian.
Yeah. Talking about it on RT there during the week. But been a long time coming as well, I suppose, for these Irish cricketers. They're 12-1 to get the win. Pakistan, of course, who Ireland beat Pakistan in the World Cup, was kind of how they made their name. It was a massive shock
and
on
St.
Patrick's
Day. And then their coach ended up dead, didn't he?
Yes, something like that.
Yeah.
It didn't go down too well, clearly.
Joined the dots.
but 1-2 with Pakistan for the win. The draw is a 2-1. That's just on the betting. Plenty of you got the first innings run score, top Ireland first innings run score there as well. Ed Joyce is at 137-2. William Porterfield, Paul Sterling 4-1, 9-2 bar. But yeah, momentous occasion in Malahide this coming week.
No sign of Owen Morgan, of course.
No. Still with the one day team in England, sadly. Yeah. But look at what he's missing out now.
I know. I'm sure he's raging. But tell us about the real big one.
Okay, well, the real big one is the Eurovision this weekend.
Of course it's.
How could anyone forget? Ireland are after qualifying. First time in, I think, 4 or 5 years.
Ryan something, is it?
Ryan Shocknessy.
Is it?
Isn't it? Yeah. I think is the name he's going by.
Pat?
I think he may be correct, but I couldn't, couldn't possibly confirm it for the segment.
Yeah, I haven't heard the song.
You told me you liked it.
It actually, in fairness, it isn't a bad song compared to some of the other efforts. For
Bring back Mickey word. Joe. What was his name? Mickey
Joe Hart.
Mickey Joe Hart, yeah. We've got... That was actually a fairly decent.
He qualified for the final.
Should have won it for me.
I think he came 10th.
He came, yeah, he did pretty well. Came 10th.
I think it's Ireland's best finish.
How the hell do you remember this? No idea.
Yeah, we just see that year Simon Casey was actually giving Eurostar a right good rattle and came runner up to Mickey Hart. So I think the whole nation was invested in
him.
Certainly most of County Offaly was.
Very weird man.
what's
the odds?
33-1 for Ireland to win it this coming week. Israel, I think, have been pretty strong in the betting as well. They're around 6-1 the last time I checked. I think their music video has been looked at 20 million times now on YouTube in recent weeks.
What's the artist name?
Oh, hear this, lad. As if he doesn't know. As if he doesn't have it on his favourites on YouTube.
But they seem to be the head of the betting. Mate of mine from back home actually really fancies Italy. This is the same guy now. I was talking to the lads before you came in. You were late to the piece, so you missed out now. But Italy, he gave me, who are currently around 40-1 for this week. He gave me Portugal as well last year, who won at 80-1. Last year, so he's clearly invested heavily in this in recent seasons, and he's been doing his research.
He's in to know. Lads, any bets of the week before we finish up?
I'm going to flag up the Bowie 50 for the Chester Cup tomorrow at Chester. I think it's a 3:35 start for Karen McClintock and Sylvester D'Souza, who's up actually 9-1 the last time I checked, so it's drifted a bit in the last half hour or so. And that bet that I mentioned in the hurling, Kilkenny to get the first three scores of the match against
Dublin.
You
wished up about that?
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. It's a random
see what
bet.
Happens.
Pat, go on.
I'm happy enough with Mayo full-time, half-time, 13-8. But also, Dublin half-time, Kilkenny full-time, 5-1.
Yeah, maybe that won't happen. Yeah, go on, Eamon.
Yeah, I like Newcastle beat Chelsea. The odds gone out of my head now, but I think they could cause a mini shock.
Yeah, they're around 4-1. Yeah.
And I'll go with Racing plus 12. That was in around 10-11. So, lads, thank you very much to
Good
Shane,
stuff.
To Pat, to Eamon.
Thanks.
From myself, Shane. With it all said, we'll chat to you again next week.
The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.